Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Ray.
I'm Alex Reed.
Welcome back to another episode of... Hey guys, and welcome back to Mostly Lit. It's me, the beautiful, the sensual, the gorgeous Raifa Rafiq, here for another episode.
And me, Alex. Back again. Hope you guys are all well.
Hope you guys are doing amazing.
Yeah.
How's your week been, Alex?
My week has been exhausting as hell. I've been exhausted. I've been burnt out. I've been lying in my bed in fetal position. Like a madman. My sleeping patterns all over the place.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. I'm alive. I'm here.
Yeah.
I had to get my hair cut.
You look nice.
To feel a bit better. You know when you just want to feel good?
Oh, yeah. That was me yesterday. I got my nails did to make myself feel better.
Yeah. Because you know when you just... I was sitting there. I was like, I'm going to get my hair cut because I can't be sitting here feeling raggedy and looking raggedy. Got to do one or the other.
Well, why you been down? Why you been low?
No, just exhausting, man. Like, literally just when you've got so many things going on and so many projects and so many different things, even work and stuff, it just felt like I just needed a break and I just wanted to just lie on my bed
and
just not do anything. But I was finding it so difficult. So on Friday, I just took a day and I was like, and I was just out with my aunt and just...
Is that your birthmark?
It is a birthmark.
It looks like a country.
It is my country. Ray's referring to birthmark on my...
Right arm. Right upper bicep, arm. Yeah, your bicep.
And it's like an island.
It looks like an island. You're carrying a whole island.
Carrying a whole island on my arm, a whole country. See?
See?
God knew what he was doing.
No place like home.
Right.
You are home. Mi amor.
how was your week anyway?
My week has been awful.
Awful?
Yeah, like mentally awful. I've just felt crappy. I don't want to cry.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Why is that? Oh, okay.
I don't want to cry. No, but yeah, like I've just had a really horrid week.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, like, it's just been crap. And so yesterday, I tried to make myself feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Got my nails done. I just feel like shit.
Okay. Well.
Sorry, I'm not going to cry because I'm such a crier. Every time somebody asks me how you are, I'm not that person that's like, I'm fine. I'm like, well. Shit's hit the fan.
Yeah.
I feel really crap. And I think it's... the winter coming, the SAD creeping up.
No, it's autumn. I love this season.
This is like my favorite season.
It's like
the sun is out, but it's a little bit nippy.
Yeah, it's all about change. Like the trees are actually changing in front of us.
But, you know, I don't like change.
I love it. I just love the leaves dropping and the golden sun and it's crisp and it's breezy, but it's still a bit warm. Yeah, I like it. But when winter actually comes, no one's going to see me. I'm hibernating mode. Don't contact me.
I don't want to be like that because, like, obviously I've moved out, so I feel like if I do that, I'll just not come out of that hole.
I'm sorry, but, like, from time the clocks go back...
Forward? They go back.
Yeah, they go back. I know there's a rhyme that somebody mentioned. It's like, not a rhyme, but if you say, you know, in America, they call autumn fall.
Yeah.
Because if you fall back, and spring forward.
Oh, that's
cute. Kind of a good way to remember it. But anyway, fall back. So when the clocks
fall
go back.
Fall back.
When the clocks go back, yeah, I'm going to be sitting pretty in my room because...
I'm going to like text you all the time.
It's going to be cold, man. It's going to be like a long winter as well. We had a long summer. So I'm assuming the winter's going to be long too.
Winter is coming, guys.
Yeah, but anyway, I hope you guys had a good week. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode last week. And
I heard it's good. I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, it's...
Wait,
yeah.
Wasn't it our live show?
It was our live show.
Oh, yeah, I listened to that one.
So we had a live show at the London Podcast Festival. We were doing Naomi Alderman's The Power.
And she was in the building.
And she was in the building and she didn't know about the event at the time. So hopefully we can get her on to talk about the book at some point.
Yeah,
but yeah. But otherwise, let's get on with the show. What are you reading this week?
Nothing.
Nope.
Not at all.
That's cool.
What are you reading this week?
I picked up a book called The Art of Stillness by Pico Iyer. And it's really interesting. It's like 90 pages of just how to...
Be still.
Be still.
I probably need that book.
And breathe. Like, just kind of take in the things around you and embrace the silence, embrace the moment. Really interesting book. And he's a travel writer and he's really good at what he does. And I really enjoyed the book. So if anybody wants to have a dose of those meditations...
What do you need to do to become still? What does the book teach you?
It was more like just learning to just slow down. It was like, you know, we get so... I figured this out the other day when I was with my my aunt and her phone was going off every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Somebody was calling every minute and stuff and it was frustrating her and all these different things. And I was like, you know... Sometimes you just need the quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Like my phone will stay on silent. I will just literally leave my phone in my room and go about and do what I'm doing for the whole day or something. I just try to make sure that I'm not constantly distracted by things from external stuff. And then I need to start not distracting myself with internal things. So
I don't know, like,
when I get really busy and active, I just have to sit there and be like, all right, cool. Let's do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Let's eat this food. All right. What next?
Yeah.
And then go on for the, you know, instead of like creating lists in my mind that I'm not going to be able to overwhelm myself with and achieve.
I feel like the more still I am, the more depressed I get. Like in terms of, like, I hear that, but sometimes your own thoughts are like your own enemies. So when people are like, oh, you know, just be still, like take a day for yourself. I'm like, bruv, do you want me to toss myself? Like you want me to spend the day by myself thinking like I will just roll, my head will just swell and I will just lose it. I don't know. I prefer the other way.
Yeah. What's the other way?
Busyness. People being busy because then that distracts you from, for example, if you're like sad and shit, I like having other people around me because the moments that I am really crappy, I just want to sleep.
But that's different, though. That's not saying that having people around you doesn't mean you're constantly busy. That just means you have people around you because you can still embrace stillness with people. It's not an introvert. It's not a wholly introverted thing. Do you know what I mean? I can have a conversation with somebody, but I know that I would rather just have that whole conversation with this person and like just enjoy the time and do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than have like bare things happening at one time.
Yeah.
All the time. And you're just like, like you've got phone calls here, you've got messages there, you've got emails coming in here, you've got such and such calling you from upstairs, you know, your mum calling you, telling you to clean
like
this and whatever.
Stressed,
I can't do it. I'm just like, leave me alone. And I start to erupt and start to go through because it just...
Stress makes the days go by quicker, innit?
Stress, will kill me early. And I'm not about to, I'm trying to reach 112. I keep telling you.
Well, I only feel like I have eight. I'm only going to, I told you about my 89. I just don't know. I think I'm really going to go at 89.
89's a good year to have a good life to have lived.
Yeah, but like, I haven't got long left.
I'll see you in 10 years after that. I'll be like, deuces.
Yeah, I feel like 89 is my year, but yeah.
Just living each day, you know what I mean? I was thinking, anyway, I don't want to get too morbid.
Depressing.
But just live each day, man, and just enjoy it. And just don't want to, and that's the thing. He was like, Pico Iyer was saying things like, oh, you know, when you travel and you come back from traveling and you wish you were there again and whatnot. Mm. He said the whole point of travel is to actually reflect on where you've been. Mm. And that's kind of, that's an aspect of stillness because you're sitting there and you're thinking, all right, so I've been to this place. What did I learn from that place? Because you're never going to go back to that place and experience it the same way.
Yeah.
You know, you can never do that. Like when you went to New Orleans, for example, you know, you probably would go back for the same event, but then it would be completely different because you might be with different people, with different...
I do plan on going to New Orleans again.
Right. Do you see what I mean? So it's really strange, but yeah, I'm just trying to embrace that a bit more. I'm trying to calm myself down. I had to burn some sage the other day because it was just all getting a bit much. And, but yes.
I don't know what I do to relax. I think I sleep. Oh, no, I clean. when just I clean get and relax really you. Stressed.
You really are Monica Geller. Is this, like, you really are Monica.
If I, wow. like, I clean, like, I like, I sometimes make mess just to clean because I'm like.
Do you mean clean or tidy? Which one? Or do you mean both?
I just need to make order. So, for example, making tidy. Lists for me is a way of cleaning because it cleans my mind. Like, it just makes it, yeah, like, it just tidies it up and it makes everything pretty. So I like order and I like things that are in its correct place. And when it's a mess and my mind is a mess, yeah. I like to, sometimes I make lists, like, literally I'll go crazy and I'm like, shit, I need to make a list. Not that I need to make a list because I know everything that I need to do.
It's so funny, your little notebook is actually hilarious.
I know.
Because you just pull it out and you're like, okay, someone made this list.
Yeah. And I honestly, why? Like, sometimes it's weird. Like, I'll be so, I'll know all the things that I need to do. I don't need to make a list for, like, to remember shit because I never forget anything. But, unless I want to. But I literally will just be there. I'm like, I need to clear my head. Mm. And in the moment, I'm really stressed. How do I do that? I make a list.
You know what? And I think that I write lists, but I write lists just in order to have them out on my head. So it's there rather than, so then I kind of just have a clear, because I will forget the next day. Yeah. I'll be like, oh my God, like, what am I supposed to be doing? And I'll look at the list and I'll be like, oh yeah, I didn't say I want to do that. Yeah. But it'll come back to me at some point. But I'd rather just have it all there just so I know that it's there. And then I can be like, cool.
But I remake lists.
You make lists about lists about lists.
Yeah, but I remake them. So, like, for example, just to, like, make me feel better. Or sometimes the list doesn't even need to be a to-do list. It could be like some anything, like red lipstick, blue lipstick. Like it's just a list. And I realize I do that very often.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think that's a problem. I don't know what problem it is, but
I don't know.
I think it's a problem.
It's something.
Or maybe it's a coping mechanism to what I don't
know. For coping with life.
Yeah. Right. Just making order, just needing to make order. I think I have OCD.
Try it.
Shit.
No, you probably don't. But you just probably just like order. Like, I don't think it's as deep as in.
Like, I'll think about it. I'm like, these are not sane.
But it's probably you just use it to distract yourself from the things that you're supposed to be doing.
No.
Or the inner work you're supposed to be doing.
No.
Anyway, so that's the art of stillness, and that's by Pico.
Yeah, guys, make lists.
Yeah. And I had a huge thing about personality tests in these past few weeks, actually.
Yeah.
And I was reading this book by Merv Emre called What's Your Type? And she basically does like a brief history of the Myers-Briggs test.
Oh.
And I had to read, and I retested, and my personality, and I think I was mistyped in my personality before.
No, you know what, miss? Your personality changes.
Mm-mm. I think you're, no. So basically, the whole idea is that
you can't be one.
No, your personality is fixed.
No, it's not.
No, basically, this is the theory that they're coming with. Okay. Yeah, your personality is fixed, right? So you basically show off certain traits throughout your life. You know what I mean? From a child, you show them, but then you grow into that personality a lot more. But there's actually something that happens with the something that happens with the personality test where you can end up being mistyped. So certain personality types get misconstrued because some people don't necessarily know how they would react in certain situations that they've never experienced before, or they see these, you know what I mean? So they'll pick a certain
option. They'll say, oh, this is what I think I'll do.
And not, this is what I would do, or they're not honest with what they've written or what they've put down. So when I did it again, I literally, my personality type was just one removed to the right. So rather than ENFJ, which is the
protagonist.
The protagonist. I'm ENFP, which is the campaigner. So
I get two as well sometimes. Mm. I get my dominant one that I always get is ENTJ, the commander, but then I also get, which I find really weird because I don't think I'm that introverted. Mm. INTP.
INTP.
Mm. The logician.
Okay.
So is it that one? Yeah. Yeah.
So you go up and down.
But I don't know. I sometimes do think I can be introverted because, like, when I go to events, I'll always, without fail, go somewhere by myself for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back in. And my friends are literally always like, where are you? Like, what are you doing? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, fine. I just need to be for myself for like 5 seconds and then I'll come back in.
And then you do your thing. Yeah. I don't know. Like, the thing is, it was like, I read the personality description.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. And I was like, but I think, like, I related to more to those examples and the personality thing that they put in rather than, more so than the ENFJ one.
Yeah.
So guys, if you want to check yours out, go to 16personalities.com and you can do the test. It's 12 minutes and you just answer honestly. But the person I see the results, I was like, oh, like I could add an example for every single one. And I was like, this makes a lot more sense. It feels a lot more comfortable. But, you know, the power of suggestion. People will try to proclaim these things.
I don't know my personality. Like, I don't know. Am I ENTJ? Do you think I'm ENTJ?
Most definitely. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Come on, they stand from anyway, they stand on the mountain and shout.
What does that mean?
As in, like, they have something to say, they stand up there and say it. Like, do you know what I'm saying? So it's really interesting. So if you want to read that book, go and read that. That's called What's Your Type by Merv Emery.
What's Your Type?
But yes.
All right.
Who's lit this week?
Oh, okay. So actually, I just saw this right now. So who's lit this week is, let me find it. Okay, so there are these two girls called, there's a girl called Chelsea Kwakye and Ore, and they have been taken on by Murky Books, which is the new imprint in Penguin. Ooh. With Stormzy. And they've got a book coming out in summer 2019 called Making Space. Oh, sorry, Taking Up Space. It's on Amazon. And, like, I don't know. So the description is a groundbreaking exploration of the problems of diversity in education by two extremely talented young graduates. As a minority in a predominantly white institution, taking up space is an act of resistance. And in higher education, feeling like you constantly have to justify your existence within institutions that weren't made for you is an ongoing struggle for many people. Chelsea Kwakye and Ore Ogunbi, apologies if I pronounced your names wrong, two recent Cambridge graduates, wrote Taking Up Space as a guide and a manifesto for change, tackling issues of access, unrepresentative curricula, discrimination in the classroom, the problems of activism and life before and after university. Featuring honest conversations with students past and present, Taking Up Space goes beyond the buzzwords of diversity and inclusion and explores what those words truly mean with young black girls today.
Okay.
So
that sounds pretty cool. Did they say they have a publication date or do they not?
No, it just says summer 20. Oh, publication date on Amazon says 13th of June 2019. Publisher is Murky Books.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Congratulations to those girls and looking forward. I feel like it's amazing that young black women are
taking up space.
Taking up so much space. Obviously, I hope that it goes beyond just in our communities.
Okay, yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, I feel like black women are very supportive of each other. But it needs to go beyond that. It needs to be mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Slaying Your Lane, I feel like that went mainstream and that was incredible to see. And it's great that these successes are not just a one-off thing, which is what I initially was worried about. I remember talking to you guys about it, how worried I was. Like, I didn't want it to just be a one-time thing. Oh, you know, 2017, 2018, black girls are doing loads of things. I wanted that longevity. I feel like jumping on that diversity bandwagon, that diversity train, always worries me because I feel like that has a stop, but hopefully we can keep it going.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Congratulations.
And hope to see so much more from various black women doing amazing things.
I sure do. I really want to see some more stuff.
Honestly,
well,
where is your book, Alex?
Oh, my book.
Okay, I've always told
what
Alex.
What are you shouting,
like,
for? Like shouting at me.
Honestly, I was like told. Honestly, like, what? Derek's got something coming out. What are you doing? Where is your children's book? I always tell you, you need to write these children's stories because you are amazing. You know, so like, listen.
I'm buffering.
No, you're rude.
No, you know when
you're rude.
You know I'm buffering, man. You know when the thing's got to load. I'm still trying to load.
Listen, you've got Wi-Fi here. Wi-Fi that is not stuttering. Your Wi-Fi is not stuttering, Alex.
Oh man, I'm coming.
Like, where is your book?
I'm coming.
Look at your age.
In my time. I will just arrive and be like, I have all
Inshallah,
of this stuff to write.
I look forward to it.
All right, amazing. So this week we are. Okay, so we put out on Twitter what you guys thought about this book called The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde by Junot Diaz. And this is the book we're going to discuss today. If you're an avid listener of the show, you know that I love this book. I reread it again for the show. I have some things I need to discuss and talk about.
Disclaimers!
There are so many different things. We are 100% aware of the problems that Gino Diaz has.
Trash.
He's a trash nigga. But I wanted to read the book just to kind of get an idea of some things, and we've come to some conclusions. But what do you think about the book, Ray? And what was it like on first read?
First read. So I finished this book like a few minutes ago.
Yep. We were literally reading the last few pages together and we're just laughing at the same points.
Yeah.
Because this world is so too much.
I've got so many emotions because literally you are actually getting my full, like my first time read, like my actual reaction of this book. I just finished it a few minutes ago. And this book is crazy.
It's crazy. Yes, it is.
I feel like it's just crazy because I was like, what? Mm-hmm. So first of all, good points about this book. What I really liked is the narrative voice, because in the beginning, the narrative voice is this guy called, I call him Junior.
Yeah, Junior. Yeah.
But what's his name?
It's Junior.
Junior. Yeah. I can say Junior. Mm-hmm. Cool. Junior. So this guy called Junior, and obviously he wasn't introduced until later on in the book. Mm-hmm. And so I was a bit confused because I was like, is this an omniscient narrator? Can we trust him? But he would go into different people's perspectives. He would sometimes be quite omniscient and off the ground in a way. He would bring in historical. There was a lot of history in this book about the Caribbean, the Dominican Republic. Haiti as well. So mm-hmm. loads of different, loads of history. And he just seemed like he was all-knowing at the same time. He was one person.
Yep.
And I really loved that aspect about this book. The other aspect I loved is it was funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there were bits that you could look at and be like,
yeah.
like okay, go on.
Yeah. Like, so I there were parts of it that were really, really funny. And we discussed like how American it was. Like it would be like, oh, bitch, please. Yeah, or
very New York.
Very New York.
Jersey Shore.
Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
All that shit.
So it was quite funny in places. Mm-hmm. And I think I love the fact that it would go back and forth timeline. Yeah. So it would start off with, I thought in the beginning, I was like, okay, so this book is going to be all about Oscar. And then when we turn to Oscar is one of the main characters in the book. And who the book kind of surrounds, I guess.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I flick a page and there's a change in perspective.
Yep.
And I'm like, wait, what? But they didn't tell me straight away that it was Lola who's Oscar's sister.
You have to ease yourself into it because you're like, oh, okay, cool.
So there were times of great confusion. But I quite like that because I was like, oh, okay, so you're actually giving me a brief, a wondrous history.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, it was going back and forth generations. Mm-hmm. It went back to Oscar's mother.
Yeah.
Oscar's grandmother.
Grandmother. Well, technically aunt, but grandmother. Yeah.
And so that was quite wonderful to see. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was just a mess.
Yeah.
But
something about the book, like, that kind of really reminds me, because when I first read it, I read it when I was in Spain and I was like studying abroad, and then this is just like reading this, I was thinking, oh my God, like, and I knew Dominicans out there as well when I was in Spain, because I was like, and I met loads of them, so I felt like I was really a part of this culture, you know what I mean? And I was like, I got this book, I know these Dominicans, it's great. And yeah, the book is really
something.
It really is something. And the thing is, like, I did find it interesting the way that Gino kind of moved from, you know, he had the whole history about Trujillo and the Dominican Republic.
So let's tell them about Trujillo.
So Trujillo is a dictator.
He's mad, guys.
Yeah, he's mad. And, you know, what he essentially did, he literally had the whole country on lock, and he wanted to whitewash the country. So that's when a lot of Jewish immigrants came into the country to be able to change, like, to kind of erase the blackness from it. And there was a thing that he used to do where, I think I forgot what the word was, but because on the border of Haiti, there's a lot of Haitians that worked in Dominican Republic, and he used to make them say, his police used to go around and to make sure that you weren't Haitian, because there was that anti-blackness there. Nice. He would say a word. He would, like, you have to say this word. If you're Spanish, you can say it.
Yeah.
If you're not if you're not Spanish, then you can't say it. And it's like, and you know, it's like, well, if you can't say it, then you must be Haitian. Yeah. You speak French, get out. You either get out or you get killed, kind of thing. So it was a really, really tough time for a lot of people in that period. And it was, and that's what he, and so Juno kind of like was like relaying the history on. And I think at this time when this was written, it was like Edridge Dandycat, this Haitian writer. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of her stories come out at the same time. So it was a lot about Haiti. We had the Roxane Gay talk about Haiti. And then we've got Juno Diaz with Dominican Republic. And one thing I'm actually upset about is that I didn't have like quite a bit of more like context of Latin writers, like Latin women or anything. Because like, I only really had this as a reference. And I didn't, admittedly, I didn't go and search, but I want to go and have a look a lot more now. Just based upon what I've read, like in this last reading. But yeah, so we go from Trujillo, and then we go to Oscar's mom.
Yeah, so the timeline is basically giving this boy called Oscar, who lives in New Jersey.
Yeah, they live in New Jersey.
And it starts off with him and his family, his sister, his mother, his father has left.
And his uncle.
And his uncle.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to his mother, Lola, the sister, and his her we'll go into deeper, but her relationship with her mother and her running away and just becoming a young woman.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to Belly, who is Oscar's mother and
her upbringing, how she lost her parent, all these different
It's essentially a timeline of the Dominican Republic's history, but in capturing the family's history, you kind of capture the country's history in a way, and how embedded that is in day to day life. All right, let's get started. Now you know the overall.
That's the overall bit. Yeah. Should we just start with Oscar because it's his story essentially? Now, so Oscar is a nerd. Oscar is
overweight.
Oscar's overweight.
He's not that hot.
I mean,
in the beginning he was. Remember, like he's
basically, there was something that was really interesting about the way that he was written, about the way Oscar was written, because it was this whole thing about, you're Dominican, but every Dominican man has a certain element of, you know, flair and flagrance and
sex appeal,
all this different stuff. And you've got to be able to get the girls, you've got to be able to grab them and do all these dance moves and then once you're able to master all those levels, then you will get every girl.
Yeah.
Henceforth for the rest
Dominican
of your life.
Man,
Dominican man and all that. And apparently, and the way it was written was that he had that when he was younger, but then it kind of fizzled out of him as he grew older. And he put on weight and he really, really enjoyed like the nerdier things in life, like, you know, Lord of the Rings and sci-fi movies and sci-fi novels and writing his sci-fi novels. And he's just really consumed in that. Do you know what I mean? So as he grew older, he became what people would say was less attractive to the opposite sex. And people started to really put that energy on him. Like, oh, you're just this, you're fat, you're this, that, and the other. And I found it really interesting how people put the power, when people put the power of words on you, how you kind of absorb that
and you internalize it
all, and then you become that thing that people are saying.
Yeah.
And I found that really interesting. But Oscar was also like a soft you. Like, and he was really just Oscar in his feelings all the time.
All the beatings. But so with me, like, one thing about Oscar is I wasn't too pleased with how Oscar was written because in the beginning, we are introduced to Oscar as this young boy who dates two girls, Maritza and Olga, at the same time. And everyone, his uncle was like, oh, yes, he's got it. This kid has got it. He's doing what all Dominican men should do. Mm. And Maritza, the prettier, more acceptable little girlfriend, catches him and says, you know what, I need you to dump Olga. Olga is this, the not so pretty, stinky young girl who's not allowed in his home because she's a different type of like breed, I don't know. And so he goes through this thing, like I feel like he had a little crisis there at that point, and he dumps Olga for Maritza. Mm-hmm. And then the next day Maritza comes in with a new man, like, yeah, we should get married sometime, and he loses it. That first heartbreak, he goes home crying, tells like his mum's like, what's wrong? He goes, I think he just says girls or something.
Yeah.
And I feel like he gets a beating. But that first heartbreak, like for Oscar, what I didn't like about him was his whole life was about women. And it was about, he literally falls in love with every woman who gives him the time of day.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the way he looks at women is just... like, he was the more accept... like, when I tell you he was the more acceptable man who was less trash than the others, but he was still trash. Because he literally never looked... never looked at a woman as a... As a human being, it was always, I feel like, as a love interest. Even the girls with his friends, with his sister's friends earlier on.
Yeah.
And how he would look at them as, you are just my partner. I think the one who I really liked was Anna. Because I feel like they were actually friends.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's like, what Gina kind of captured there was the puberty. Why am I speaking
pubertic?
Like this? The puberty. Yeah. Why am I speaking like this? I can't speak.
You're speaking like Oscar, isn't it?
It was about puberty, you know what I mean? Like, and everybody, it's like when you have that dose of expectation kind of on you. I remember growing up and, like, you know, whenever my cousin's friends were around, it was like, I had my other cousins and my dad, and they were like, you got all your cousins around, are you going to go and try and talk to them? And, like, you know what I mean? All these different things. So you kind of basically, you don't see them as your friends. You see them as just... potentials for anything that could
but
possibly
he never
happen
grew
if they
out
wanted.
Of that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even though, like, for example, he is a product of hyper masculinity and toxic masculinity, because
just the cultures,
every man was telling him, for you to be a Dominican man, you need to be able to get in girls' pants. And that was his sole aim, and it destroyed him.
And even the women as well. They're very much like, I remember if we talk about Lola, his sister, right, in the context of Oscar.
She was
like, you need to change. You're never gonna get girls if you act like this. You know what I mean? You need to start changing.
But I think it was a real testament to the men in Dominican society, just most society anyway, in that, you know, you're not worth, but, like, you need to be able to get girls. Like, you may be low and scum, because remember, he had two friends who were nerdy just like him, like almost freakish as well, and they were able to get these girls, and then that's when he even felt ostracized from them. And I'm like, you are mad, because... I get that this is what society is telling you, but you shouldn't feel like his nerdy side. I just don't. I feel like that was fun. I genuinely don't think that girls didn't like him because of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that it was. I feel like most of the time it was very self-inflicted as well.
And this is the thing. So it was like, when you're of a certain character, how do you kind of, how do you embrace that? And still remain, because he was really into his, like,
yeah, he
his,
was into it, and he was a writer,
into his nerd,
you know,
stuff,
what I mean,
into
what, yeah,
and you know what I'm saying, but he was all into it. But then it was like, people around him, they were just very like, I don't know whether it was the fact that people were acting as they would, like, you know, if you've got an older sister and you've got older sister's friend, and they're like, go away, like, who are you, kind of move, kind of thing.
But do you think that, for example, Oscar would, like, he didn't have the confidence to be able to look at all these things that he was doing as something that made him good. Like, I feel like if he had confidence enough to be like, boom, this is, I like writing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that doesn't make me a freak or whatever. I like video games. I like to watch movies. I have all of these interests. Do you know what I mean?
I do think
if he had the confidence.
Yeah. But I do think at that time, it's like, it's something that people just associate with nerds, hanging around the comic book store, playing Dungeons and Dragons, reading all those things. You know, even growing up, it was like, you know, reading Harry Potter. Oh, they read that, reading Lord of the Rings. I remember there was a guy, like, I was pretty okay at school to the point where I could read Harry Potter
and still
be fine. Yeah. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But there were people in my year who were reading Harry Potter, but they were reading Terry Pratchett, they were reading all these, they're reading,
but I feel like
a guy,
they could have literally had the confidence,
it's
confidence.
One of them things, it's largely about, especially when you're a teenager, largely about how people see you, isn't it? And I remember one guy,
the thing is, I was a reader, but I don't think I was ever considered.
There's one guy who brought in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and was reading that, like, in year eight, and everybody was like,
no, but I was like, reading books like that, but obviously I didn't get manned, do you know what I mean? But I didn't, I wasn't that girl, but I didn't really care. Or I did, but I was, I kind of used my books and how smart I was as Lola, as like, boom, like, yeah, this is me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be put in a box as a freak.
But there's a level of growth there. Do you see what I mean? Like, yeah, there was, no one was ever walked into year seven that confident.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody was like, I remember in year seven, I never used to play outside with like people. I used to like, there was a point where I was in the library in year seven and eight, just playing cards or just being there. Do you see what I mean? But then I think that I grew out of that. I grew into myself a bit more. And I was like, that's when I started hanging outside and, you know, like.
You know, I don't remember being like, because I was, I don't know when that happened to me, because I was always quite an audacious child.
Yeah.
So even in Zanzibar, like I was still very, I don't know, like I've, oh, my stomach's rumbling. I was never, I don't remember being shy. And I don't remember being like having that growth period. I think my growth was the other way around, and being able to sit inside and be like, okay, guys, I actually just want me time. I think that's my.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that was my growth, because I was always like, I don't know, I've never. So it's hard for me to be like, why don't you just be confident?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, just go out there. Like, just take the world with your hands. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's weird. I don't know what it is, but I think there's some people that are blessed with the balance of being able to do geek stuff and still be able.
Like, okay, I was always Oscar, nerdy.
Yeah, because like Oscar had those two friends, didn't he?
Yeah.
And like, they both got girls.
Exactly.
And whatnot. And they were like pretty. They were nerdy, but they weren't as nerdy.
It's just nasty that we're looking at women. This is what I'm saying.
In the context of the book. And that's.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We'll talk about more about that wider issue there in the end. But like when he had those friends and they were like, oh, so what about me then? And they were like,
you're too much of a geek.
You're too much of a geek. Like, we're geeks.
We're
geeks and nerds, but we...
We
will go out and we'll do stuff. And I don't know. There's a huge amount of fat shaming though as well.
Loads of fat shaming. But what I did not like about Oscar is in the end, he, like, for example, he would hit on women and he would hit on them like without a care in the world. He, in his eyes, oh, you know, I'm just giving them love. I'm showing them affection.
Mm.
But I was like, that is unacceptable. And you think that them running away from you and thinking that you're a weirdo is because, you know, they are mean. No, you should not be hitting on these women and screaming at them from across the fucking road.
Yeah, that's just.
And thinking that is love.
But that's what Union said. It's like, it's no game. You actually have no game. You can't be out here shouting across the street. Yeah. What's that? Like, never approach somebody from behind them. That's like really weird. It's just all these different things that you're out here just not knowing what to do.
But he was really, like, let's talk about, he was really depressed. Like, he got really depressed because wow, my stomach, did you hear it?
Nope.
Okay, cool. He got really depressed and he tried to commit suicide a few times because he felt lonely and he felt like he could never be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, wow. That was when I was like, wow, like I actually feel for you.
Yeah.
Because when you are constantly told that your only worth is by being loved or by or people having affection for you, mm-hmm. or women or men, mm-hmm. or whatever, like wanting you, mm-hmm. that's when like, and you don't ever get that. And it's so weird because the world is so big and so wide and there is so much different purpose that you can get in your life. And when he felt like he could never get that, because that was the central thing that everyone in every bloody culture is obsessed about. You need to find someone. You need to be loved. Mm-hmm. You need a man or woman to love you. Otherwise, who are you? Mm. Get, when will you marry? To all of these things. And it, when he tried to commit suicide because of that, I was like, you know what? I get it.
Yeah. I think the greatest issue, though, is well, alongside that, because as much as trying to find love or having to find love and doing all these different things, it's about learning how to love what you have. So, yeah there was a period of self-development that he tried to go on, and, you know.
Yeah, when he went back to Dominican Republic.
And yeah. Obviously, when Union was trying to get him to, like, do stuff and get himself healthy and whatnot. But there's a period of self-development that people go through to say, you know what, I love who I am. I can kind of like, so once you, and I think people see that, once you love who you are and you like what you are, or who you are, or the kind of way you are, that kind of becomes attractive.
Exactly.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he didn't, so in those early stages, he didn't have that. He didn't, he wasn't happy with who he was because people weren't happy with who he was.
Yeah.
And he couldn't find it.
But it's like a chicken egg situation, because you're not happy with who you are, other people are not happy with who you are, you're internalizing it, and then you're not happy. And there is no end. But that's why I was really frustrated with him, because I was like, oh my God, just stand on your two feet and it's okay.
Yeah.
Just love yourself.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's very hard to get out of that cycle, right? But
it's not that easy.
It's not that easy. But when it's done, you have no idea how incredible self-awareness is. And when you, it's like a mirror, right? Like a golden mirror, even, like as was said in this book. It's like as soon as you begin to look at yourself with more clarity and you understand who you are as a person, nobody can put a mirror to your face and use your reflection as something to harm you with, because it's almost like there's a saying in Game of Thrones, like, that Tyrion uses, like, use your weaknesses as your shield, as your armor, because if you know them so well, they protect you rather than being used against you. And so it's like, that is what I want. Like, okay, so you're the fat kid, you're fat.
Yeah.
Boom. You can't change that in a day.
Yeah.
But don't wait until you're slim to be happy with who you are. And this is like, there's been a lot of, like, on social media, a lot of fat shaming and shit. And I'm like,
yeah,
these people know exactly how they look like.
Yeah. And there was a bit in there, actually, where it's like, you know, Union said, like, oh, and what's worse than someone trying to get fit is when people looking at fat people trying to get better. Like, and people were, again, it was constantly external stimuli that was affecting
him.
Oscar all the time. Like, he went out to run and he just couldn't do it because he was like,
people call him names and the other,
and they just, you know, call him weirdo and all these different things.
And they almost expect you to not love yourself because they see you as this someone who looks different and nasty. And so I think a lot of people, they get really confused at the beginning when they see women who are not conventionally beautiful in the Western sense love themselves, because they're like, what? Like, you mean to tell me that you, with the way you look, love yourself? That's horrific. And it's disgusting. But I don't know. I do think that Oscar had good role models in his life.
Oh, my God. So,
or people that he could turn to that would help him out. Because
This is a good segue onto Lola, then, because Lola's his older sister. And she was the only one really...
like a sane person.
I wouldn't say she was sane.
No, she was actually saner.
I wouldn't say she was sane, but I would say that Lola was the one who just had...
Lola was the sane one.
Lola was the sane one. And she basically had her head screwed on, and she really loved him.
She really... She loved... That's her brother.
Yeah. She loved him, like, regardless
of what
he did.
Yeah.
Or who he was, or the way he acted around people.
And I think the only reason why she gave him all this advice, like, get better, go on a date, do you know what I mean? Talk to girls, wasn't because she thought that this is what he was meant to do, to be happy with himself, but because that was the own, in his head, it was. So I feel like Lola knew that this shit was for the birds, do you know what I mean? Like, she knew that that wasn't the way, but she was like, I think that that is what you would want, and therefore go and get it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make that change. I think there was a part when, like, Oscar had... I feel like Oscar really valued Lola's opinion and would go to her as this, like, sounding board, because there was a time when he was speaking to this girl called Anna, who, of course, he fell in love with, because literally this guy falls in love.
Oscar falls in love.
Falls in love with every woman, every person that had a vagina and spoke to him. That wasn't his family.
Yeah, that's true. That wasn't his family.
So, Anna was, like, dating this guy who was, like, really old, and she was very young, literally, like, pedophilic stuff. And Anna was like, oh yeah, that's just how it is. And then Oscar was like, what? That's not right. And then he went to his sister, and then she was like, oh, what would you do if your 15-year-old daughter was dating a 32-year-old man? And then Lola was like, I'd kill him, obviously. And then he was like, oh yeah, that's what I thought. So I feel like they had this connection.
It was someone he could actually go to and back.
Yeah, and she, I remember when Oscar went to college and they went to the same college, Lola would bring him to her marches, because she was, you know, she was an activist. She was trying to, she was about that life. She had this, this is what I was going to talk about. She had this, she's this feeling that she would describe that she needed to accomplish more.
Yeah.
And this feeling that I think goes through a lot of women who want change, a lot of women who are not comfortable with the position that they're in, a lot of women who want to achieve things. They have this unsettled thing in them, this fire that allowed them to do things and to go outside of their current walls and their prisons. And she, anytime she'd want to do something, whether it's running away from home, meeting with deadbeat men,
Lola did a lot of that.
Go to university, whether it's, you know, cutting off her hair, which was, you know, this thing to behold that was so long, and going against her mother's wishes. And it was always this unsettled fire in her that was always burning. And it's so weird that so many of these Dominican women had that in them, because even though she fought so much with her mother, Belly, when we reached her mother's story, she had that exact same thing. And then
the exact same person.
And it's so weird, because these women represented the Dominican women and the Dominican fire of these young people. Because there was a point where Gino Diaz talks about how the country was stifled, and Trujillo was like literally burning this pot, putting a damn cover on it, and everyone was moving mad.
Yeah.
They didn't know where to go, but they had this energy. And there was a really amazing part where he was like, these same people who would follow tradition, but they were trying to change it. And this is the fire that was imbued in, I feel, loads of these women, Belly, Lola. Yeah, and so Laika. Many of them. Yeah.
How did you think that Gino wrote women? Do you think you wrote them well? Because that was my thing.
I was talking about this.
I was talking to my friend on Instagram, and I was like, red flags all over the place.
This book is like toxic masculinity galore. I feel like
he is writing it from the perspective of Junior, but then at the same time, how much of
is him, right?
Yeah.
So the one thing I didn't like about, well, obviously he literally sexualized everyone
apart from Lenka.
Yeah, Lenka, because she was, you know, the Madonna of the whores. Do you know what I mean? You have the whole like Madonna whore complex. She was the Madonna. Everybody else in this book was a whore. And so I feel like, for example, Belly had these gigantic tits.
Yeah, tetas.
Yeah, that literally were like everything.
Yeah.
And when Lola, she had these long legs with this amazing bum. That was it, Max, called the treasure.
Yep. And no tits.
And no, yeah, flat-chested. All the time, flat-chested, long legs, the treasure ass, right?
Yep.
Belly, who was a bit ugly in the beginning.
Belly. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the school. And then all of a sudden, one summer, she developed into this amazing woman who had tits all of a sudden. And therefore, she became important all of a sudden to men.
Like every person, every woman that is written was written in the context of how men saw them.
Yeah. Maritza, this beautiful woman who then became a whore. She dated older men. She probably slept with everyone in the community. And then you had Olga, who was the ugly one, who was just trash to look at, was almost like Oscar in a way, overweight as well. So these women had little to no substance inside.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he did himself a disservice writing them from the perspective of a man.
Yeah.
Because I feel like...
But I guess that's the only way he could see them.
That's what I mean. But like, there's some male writers who get who get it really well. And like, that means that it just makes me think like, everything that you're writing for is from your perspective, which is fine. Yeah. But then you're using, it's concerning to a point, because it's like, so are you using Junior? Because I know he's spoken about Junior being a kind of a caricature of him himself. So are you using Junior as a kind of a what's the word? A cape or something, or like a cloak to cover what you actually think?
And I think
because there's so many homophobic references in there, fatphobic references in there. Like,
he doesn't know how to see women as people. He sees them as either sexualized objects or mothers. Mm. I think he writes mothers really well.
Yeah. Actually, he does write mothers really well.
I think he writes mothers really, really well.
He doesn't write fathers in any particular good light.
They're not there. When does he mention fathers? They're not there. But yeah, like, he writes mothers really, really well. For example, Belly is mad. But the relationship between Belly and her children, I think he really does well in showing that. I mean, it's not a great relationship, but he writes it really well.
Belly needs her own show.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. She needs her own book.
So Belly, guys, has cancer, yeah? This woman is trying to fight all her kids. Like, she's trying to kill them. There was a point.
She's been trying to fight them. She's been trying to fight everybody since she was born, and it's peak. Like, so, wait, a bit about Belly, right?
She's mad.
Belly is basically the child of a nurse and a doctor.
Oh,
you never see. Like, Inka's always telling her, "Oh, remember
your father is a doctor,
and you are the third child of the Cabral family." She's like, "Who are these
people? I don't care, fam.
These people I don't
know.
Trying
to get laid.
People I don't know." But anyway, so she's in this. She's just had this rage in her, and the fact that she didn't grow up in the right society.
Because she was upper class.
Yeah, and then she was put into foster homes, and then her aunt found her and took her in, and all these different things. And she had this rage and this energy in her. But then, you know, she's out here fighting her kids and keeping them in terror, like in their life.
In absolute terror.
Yeah, and it's just like, there's a point where...
As in, she's such a terrible mother, guys. Yeah. I can't even, like, she's a terrible mother. And there was a point where I don't know if I can find it.
But there were points of tenderness, though, because there were points when Lola was in Dominican Republic, and she was like, oh... I would die for you. Yeah, mum was like, oh, you can come home if you want to.
Yeah.
You know,
like, she said one thing, she was like, just know that I will kill for you. And I was like, so the only way you can show affection is by threatening other people's lives. Or like, I will die for you or whatever.
She's always had to fight. She's had to fight all these men in her life. Yeah.
I know, but yeah, because she had it hard.
She had to fight all these men.
She was dating this gangster.
El gangster.
And got pregnant. And then his wife's people.
Yeah, I think it was Trujillo. Yeah. It was Trujillo's people that came and did Higgy Hagga.
The gangster was married to Trujillo's...
You know what? This read like... It read like a telenovela.
Of course. It was madness.
It was actually crazy. But,
and then, because somebody was getting taken, beaten up. Her child was killed. And then she was like, yeah, you have to get on the plane. Like, because like, bruv, you have to get out of this country.
Going to send you to New York.
And then New York, they're nothing great about there because everyone's poor.
But it always makes you think, like, when immigrant families... leave their countries to go to elsewhere, they usually are running from something.
Yeah. And then, the great part is how he described how summertime in the Dominican Republic, when these countries call back the diaspora, call back the immigrants.
Yeah.
And it's funny because in Zanzibar, where I'm from, we are called, when we go back, we're called the June Julys.
Oh,
June July, like, oh, they're coming, you know. So it's always that time when... You know, we all know that the country's going to be different now because the June Julys are back. Yeah. The summer people are back. We're taking, and it's so true.
Yeah.
You leave and then you come back.
And go back home for a bit.
Yeah. And you have this calling to home.
Mm-hmm.
but it's still a hot mess. Do you know what I mean?
But the thing is, it's always that thing, like, you know, when you're leaving, you know you're leaving, you know you're going back. It's like when we talk about what it means when a man falls from the sky, when, I forgot what the story was now, but when she went to her cousin, I forgot what it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they go back, and it's like this whole, and we bring back that conversation up again about the whole being sent back home in order to find who you are and find all these different things.
And the relationship to home was very different. Lola in the end was like, get me out of this place. Mm. I don't want to see it. And Belly's like, I'm really not about coming back, but Lord, I have to.
Yeah.
And it was, I felt like it was.
And Oscar, but how did Oscar find? Oscar fell in love with the country.
He fell in love with the country. And all the wahala that was there, do you know what I mean? Mm. He literally was, I mean, he died for the country. for real.
He went out as he came in.
Yeah, he was like, well, my love is there. Mm. Remember, go home. You are my home.
Oh, God, Oscar.
Please. Mi amor. That's the part me and Alex were laughing at.
I was like, Oscar, please. Yeah, you're out here just losing
all.
So
moist.
He had little sauce left. And then he just went. He's talking to this big, big woman.
I like your haircut, bruv. Like, someone's coming to kill you. What do you mean?
But yeah, so, and then the final character really is Junior. And Junior, Junior is...
Go on, Alex, you go with this one first, because I have something to talk about with this.
And Junior basically is a representation of all the men
that I've,
all the men that I've ever been, to be honest.
Which is all men.
To be honest, you know, he's positioned as this jock, as this
I would fall for Junior. This is it. This is the thing.
As this gyalist who's basically seeing three women at the same time and trying to get with Lola. And Lola is his one great love. He's like, I love you, Lola, but what is other?
Okay, let me read, guys. Let me tell you the part where I knew this guy. Mm. As in, so for example, Junior is in other stories.
He's in This Is How You Lose Her.
This Is How You Lose Her. And guys,
and he's also a bit in Drown.
I told you guys that I can't read This Is How You Lose Her. I've tried, but it is, I feel, just short stories of how to be a trash
nigga.
Yeah, essentially. So this is a conversation between Junio and Oscar. We smoked the Dutch and talked about the problems me and Lola were having. You should never have had carnal relations with that Paraguayan girl. Anyway, yeah, he pointed out.
From Paraguay.
So why don't you just say that, Oscar? I know, I said, I know. She loves you. I know that. Why do you cheat on her then? If I knew that, it wouldn't be a problem. Maybe you should try to find out. He stood up. You ain't going to wait for Lola. I must be away to Patterson. I have a date. You're shitting me. He shook his head, the tricky fuck. I said, is she beautiful? He smiled, she is. On Saturday, he was gone. Man said, why do you cheat on her then? If I knew that, it wouldn't be... guys, let me tell you something, yeah? So, Junio, what's it, Junio?
Junior.
I'm sorry, I've tried.
Basically, yeah? It's Junior. Yeah. Just call him Junior.
Junior. I'm sorry.
I never told you to say Junior, you know.
I tried. Like, I'm trying to, you know, be down with the culture. I didn't want to appropriate, you know. But whatever. So, Junior, yeah?
It's written with a Y.
Junior. Right? You Junior. Shut up, fam.
Junior. Sorry, anyway.
Junior. Yeah? Guys, Junior popped up when Lola was leaving. And Lola was like, please look after my brother. And he tried low-key in the beginning. I like the way he narrates. It was great. I was like, oh, this guy's really trying because he really likes Lola helping the brother. And he did for a bit. And then he had enough because obviously Oscar is a moisture and he can't run. So he was like, boom. And then people started...
You're actually rude.
No, but then people started bullying him. And then Junior felt bad a little bit. But, you know, he did what all men do and cover up the goodness, the little bit of goodness that God must have by mistake put in.
What is your problem?
No, but listen.
The little bit of goodness that he put in.
Mistakenly, because you know he didn't do that by purpose, okay? And that's what we always fall for. We always fall for the mistake. Anyways, I'm not done. So Junior now Like when Lola comes back, Lola's like the first. Obviously, okay, Lola did did have a boyfriend at the time, but that's besides the point.
She was out here cheating with Yun Young.
Yes, but that's besides the point. Okay, because that's not what we're talking about here. We don't know that relationship.
Huh?
We don't know what she was escaping.
But you can't ignore it though.
Okay, but that's not what I'm talking about here.
She's still trash. She's not trash as Yun Young, but she's still trash. People are trash.
No, but my issue is I don't care. Yeah.
Mm.
Lola said to him, "Do not lie to me," and Junior, with all the madness and the masculinity in him, looked at her in her eye, in her two eye, and said,
"Too
cool, yeah." And then, in the end, man said, "Yeah, I love her, but obviously it's my fault. I can't keep it in my pants." And then he's asked, "Why do you cheat on her?" And he literally says, "I don't know." And you know when men, you're asking a man, like, "Why did you do this to me?" And he's like, "I don't know." And you're there thinking, "No, it's but like maybe he's lying to me." This is his brother he's talking to, a guy. "Why do you do it?" "I don't know." And this is why I know men are mad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I genuinely believe they don't know.
Literally, yeah.
They're just...
Men are mad, women are crazy. It's one of those things.
No,
life is as it should be.
I can tell you, like, "This is why I was trash." But you are so trash that you don't know the reason for your trash.
But that is the ultimate trash. What does that say though? That says that you're calculated.
No.
Because you know what you're doing.
Cool, but there's a reason.
Literally,
there is no hope for you, man. Because there is no reason.
Mm.
With me, like, tell me I did it because you're ugly. I'll be like, cool. I'll cry, but cool. There is no...
But
it's like, I can't help you.
What's wrong with you?
Nobody can help you.
Yeah, no one can help you.
Nobody can help you, man.
No one can help Union.
Nah.
Then don't be putting the palm in my face.
I'm just saying, Alex.
What I'm saying
I'm
is that...
I'm just saying, Alex.
Yeah, but some people can't be helped. It's like going to a child and saying...
You can't even go to a therapist because no therapist can say, unpack that.
They can.
No, they can't.
They're licensed professionals.
No. They cannot unpack what cannot be unpacked, yeah? Have you listened to the Carter Five? Hey, gang. I forgot to mention, guys. My babes, Wheezy F, baby, dropped a new album. Yeah, and I've been waiting for Lil Wayne to drop an album because I love Lil Wayne. You guys don't understand. Lil Wayne represents
the early noughties
for me. And you guys know I live in the early noughties.
I'm really getting back into my contemporary and current music, guys.
Listen, yeah.
Like, I've been stuck.
Like Lil Wayne
in the past for way too long.
Lil Wayne said he did something on that album. He took me all the way back to 2007, 2008 when he dropped Carter 3. Oh, it was banging. Anyways.
Are you done?
So, Yunyo's trash.
Right, okay.
And Oscar Wao is trash. And Juno Diaz is trash. And the uncle that is just in the background is trash.
What did they say about the uncle in the end? He's like, what did Oscar say? He's like, he said goodbye to everybody. He's like...
Guys.
He's like, Tio. Tio, sort it out.
Of Oscar Wao is trash. And I would tell you to read
it. I'm not even going to defend it.
Entertainment value.
I'm not even going to defend it. I feel like when we read diaspora stories, they are like hella entertaining. We've got Stay By Me. Was it Stay With Me?
Stay With Me.
Stay With Me. You've got Stay With Me. We've got all of these diaspora things. Even what is it? August Town. All of these diaspora like books, right? They are full of just drama.
Juno Diaz, the brief.
Not even a
just all of Juno Diaz.
Mm.
I'm sorry, Alex.
Don't apologize to me. I mean,
Juno Diaz.
I know.
Is
yeah.
For you to be able to write such trash men, yeah. You must be a trash man.
But no, but did you remember? So we've
you're seen, not that artistic that like you can but, just make this shit up.
But we have seen that. We have seen in recent times the article that came out where mm-hmm. he wrote about how he treated certain women of colour and all these different things. And I'm just like, and then once reading that, you're like,
because
the thing is, when it was written, it was like, oh, okay, cool, you're talking
about
this.
You've really captured
that. Yeah, you're talking about this. But when you're reading, you're talking about this. But then when the week after, a few days after it came out, that the woman that quote unquote, he had abused... I was like, boy, what was you trying to do? Were you actually putting it out there just so you could like soften the blow?
Because you knew, yeah.
Or was it? That's a long piece as well. I sat there and read the whole New York Times thing, and I'm just like, but
to be honest, I think this book really shows is the conversation about nationalism because he really put down the history in this book is biased maybe, truth to the people, yeah. but. who really captured a nation under siege and how the people in it are trying to live their best lives, but they can't because they're being suffocated by oppression. And that was captured really well. So I think he did that amazingly. He was able to really capture the Dominican Republic, the family unit, and how a country can destroy the home, because the home is in of itself a small nation in very micro form. And so I think Diaz did that perfectly, that conversation between
I know that in the time when it came out, he wrote a lot about his own experiences growing up with his parents and his mum and the kind of things that he experienced as a Dominican man, and, you know, his relationship to his sisters and the women around him, etc. But, you know, and it's as you say, like, for you to be able to write something so... and I was reading it and I was like, really?
Yeah,
like... Why are you describing that? What?
Yeah. And I like, women, I just feel like the way he wrote women was just...
It got a bit thing. There was no love there, in the sense. You know what I mean? There wasn't...
There was like, love in bits.
Belly was characterised as this crazy woman. Lola was this tough...
Tomboyish crazy
thing.
Goth. With the ass and legs and
but yeah, I mean,
but I thought maybe there was hope in his in her daughter.
There was
possibly
hope in her daughter, yeah,
yeah. So
and that's why she in probably, the end, that's why
what
she was really
I love
angry.
About Lola is she literally caught, like, obviously, Junior, she had gone off and cheated, asked him, boom, where were you? He couldn't account for it, and then he literally she literally said, "Have a good life, thank you." Please, the fact that I love, she said,
"Me and
said,
my baby
please,
gonna be okay.
Me and my baby, we gonna be all right. We gonna live a good life." She literally lemonaded him. But what I loved is she understood that, you know what, you have done all these things, but you're also a product of where you're, of the people that you're with, and all these responsibilities that you have as a man. That doesn't take away from the fact that you're still trash, but I get it. So in the end, she said, "Please look after yourself, but I am not about it." She literally said, "Look after yourself." And I would love, I just want to have a conversation with somebody and say, "Boom, look after yourself. Bye." Thank you. Bye.
I like Lola.
I love Lola.
Low-key, the book is about Lola, to be honest.
Yeah, because she's the survivor.
She is the survivor of everything.
She's the one that brings in the next generation.
Actually, yeah, she is the survivor, isn't she?
Mother died. Oscar died.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what happened. Yeah. I mean, it was said from the beginning to be.
And Junior is a hot mess.
No, he's not actually.
He's teaching at some community college. He's lost the greatest, his beauty. Yeah.
He's living his life.
He's just, you know, catching diseases left, right and centre, possibly. And
why are you putting this thing on his life?
No, and then obviously I see her because she's the one that literally got away. She's like, yeah, I see her sometimes. Time we catch up. I see her daughter.
But it's that whole 444 thing, isn't it? It's the whole, oh, I'm mature now.
Yeah,
I did all of this bad stuff to all these people,
man story.
Oh, look, now he's now look, she's got a child, and she's doing so well. It's like that. Have you seen that meme when that guy's looking out the window? He's like, "My ex is out here doing well. Let me go disturb her." All these different things. So I don't know, man. I'm just like, but I still like the book. I don't love it anymore, but I like it. It was a comfortable read for me. Like,
yeah, it was quite an easy read.
It was like, this isn't like, I got into the rhythm of it, and it made me want to start Pachata again. I really like Marie.
I think that I'm so glad that I have a somewhat healthy family, or a point where I'm like, well, a family, like a mother and father that I love, and who I know love me, because
otherwise the life is peak.
It's hella peak. And please, there's a point here that I think is very vital that Lola raises up. There's a point where she says, "I don't think that some parents love their children because of the stuff that they do that I don't even think they think is good for their kid." Because sometimes I think the things that Belly did, I think she knew that these things are not good for her children.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very important. What this book shows is, bruv, don't have kids until you're really like
So you're really, really ready.
Like you're ready, and you can like, and you can look after them, and you do not impose your dreams and your worries on them, because that will cripple them.
Yeah.
Belly literally wanted her daughter to be everything that she wasn't, but her daughter was her. And I'm like,
and that's what she didn't like. She saw too much in her.
She saw that fire, and I'm like, but imagine if that fire was cultivated so well in you, and it wasn't controlled. It was allowed to flourish in an environment and burn in an environment that was, that fed the light and fed that fire, instead of trying to dampen it down and just blazing everything up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so really, mothers, obviously, and fathers, one, fathers, be
of
present.
Course. Father, be there.
Be there.
Because none of them were there.
None
of them.
Completely.
I mean, one did die.
Well,
the other was, that's was cheating.
Personal problem.
The other one just wasn't there. Anyway, but things happened. Life happens, I guess.
Yeah.
It's how we rock this boat called life. Do you know what I mean?
It's a mess, right?
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, guys, that's the brief on this life with
We've
Oscar
taken up far too much time.
That's Gino. Bounce. Yeah. Do you have anything that you want to say towards the end?
About this book?
Is it anything?
I'm stressed just talking about it now. Because, like, this is my actual, like, reaction, because I haven't had time for... I've had, like, a 2-hour to let it mull, but yeah. I'm still like... Oh, damn. Mm. That's just a mess. I don't know if I'll read it again, because I'm just not ready.
Yeah.
Because now when I deep Oscar's story, the fact that he died for love. But like, was it love? Because he just...
I think one thing to take away from it is that everybody does have their greatest love, whether they hold on to it or not, is the next thing.
I don't think that people should have great love.
Union didn't hold on to it.
Yeah, he lost
and
it.
Oscar found it. We didn't.
Well, Oscar found it many times.
His greatest love? I think Yvonne was his greatest love. I think he found that once.
Who was his greatest, do you think?
I would have said it was Yvonne.
I don't know, you know. Yvonne was mad.
That last thing that he had.
No, I don't think so. I think all of his loves were very frivolous.
Mm.
I don't think any of them were. He was just obsessed with women.
Yeah.
Because he was meant to feel that he should be.
And being liked.
Yeah, and being liked.
All right, cool. Well, let's round up there.
We were supposed to have to do a film, but I didn't watch it because I went out. We were supposed to do Catch Me If You Can.
Yay for honesty.
Yeah, I mean, I had to.
Yay for transparency.
We were supposed to be Catch Me If You Can, and I walked in and I was
You're better than me. I'd have been like, okay, guys, the show's ended. There's nothing else happening. I watched it. We'll watch it another time.
We'll talk about it next week.
Do you have anything that you want to shout out or talk about?
Oh, we're going to Cheltenham. Mention that.
Yeah.
So please buy your tickets, guys. Yeah,
we'll be putting it. All the ticket information is out on our socials. Make sure you go and get and collect and grab and do all your things that you need to be doing with those things.
And tell us what you're reading. Yeah. It's getting to Christmas and winter time, so give us all your depressing reads. And maybe your happy reads, because you might like them.
There are some beautiful books coming out over Christmas time. I'm looking forward to them.
Yeah?
So, yes.
There's just far too many books and I'm tired.
Alrighty, I got something to say, but I'll do that next week because it'll probably be a bit more confirmed. But otherwise, I'm hella tired, guys. Enjoy your week.
I'm going to go for dinner and a movie.
Yeah. What are you watching?
I'm watching Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, okay. Why are you laughing? Why are you so embarrassed to say this?
No, because obviously it's like a little like love thing. It's very frivolous and I just need something frivolous. So yeah, I'm going to have watch a film with dinner.
Okay, amazing. Amazing. All right, guys, we'll catch you next week. Make sure you hit us up on the socials and all the other places you can find us, and email us when you need to and what you need to.
And tell us what you thought of the brief, wondrous life of Oscar.
I mean, Twitter has told us what they thought.
Yeah, so they're like, no, this nigga trash.
But anyway, hope you guys have a good week and we'll catch you soon.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.